This is your gateway to the latest trends in the Gulf, bringing you exclusive insights and thought-provoking discussions. Welcome to AB Majlis, an Arabian business podcast. You can find our weekly episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more exclusive content, subscribe to us on arabianbusiness.com. Welcome back to another episode of AB Majlis. I'm Tala Michel Issa, senior reporter at Arabian Business. And today I'm sitting down with Dr. Sarah Rizit, a pediatrician based in Dubai, to discuss the current state of healthcare for children and adolescents across the region and how much social media has impacted their behavioral development. So without further ado, welcome onto the podcast, Sarah, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you, Talia, for this nice opportunity. It's very nice to meet you and be here with you, enjoying this lovely time together.
Thank you so much. And so let's maybe kickstart the conversation with talking about your work in, as a pediatrician in Dubai and how that maybe sort of differs compared to other parts of the world for people in your profession.
Yeah, actually, I am a pediatrician, and as you all know, I'm more into pediatric and adolescent medicine because sometimes we think pediatrician is just for small kids and young kids. So for us, for me personally, I see kids until 18 years of age, and I'm based here in Dubai. I've worked before in Lebanon. I have practiced also some training in Cuba, which is Latin America, so it's a bit different. Here in Dubai, we are very happy to practice being a pediatrician. We have many populations. There is many diseases, many infections coming from all over the world. So it's a really nice mix to see all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess with the population diversity and this really unique demographic you wouldn't find anywhere else, right? I mean, have you worked in other countries as well as a pediatrician?
I just worked in Lebanon before.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And how different has that been? I mean, the children and teenagers here compared to in Lebanon, the sort of issues they're facing that they come to you with.
You know, like, as I said before, the main difference is the infectious diseases because, you know, like in Lebanon, maybe the majority of the patients are Lebanese coming only from that country. And the infections are just the ones that we see in Lebanon. But here in Dubai, you can see many things coming from mm-hmm. all over the world. So there is some kind of infections that we don't see in the Middle East, but we see here in Dubai because people are coming from Latin America, from Asia, from Europe, and from many others. So we try to make it safe for all the kids coming from everywhere by stretching more on the vaccines, on the vaccinations. We try to give all the vaccines possible for all the countries. We try to kind of mix or make a nice mix of the vaccines. So wherever they go, they are safe and immunized.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, I'm sure COVID was a very interesting time for you, but let's not get into that debate. We're here to talk more about adolescents and, children in Dubai. So based on that, there's been quite a few reports that have come out over the past couple of years showing that a lot of concerning statistics on screen time and a lot of children's, sort of reliance on technology. What's your take on that? How do you tackle that as an expert?
Actually, you touched a very hot topic now in pediatrics. You know, like now the trend is for all the kids to be on social media. Screen time is way too much. We're trying, all of us, because I'm also a parent and I'm trying also with my kids. You try the best you can, but it's really hard in these days to limit the screen time for kids. You know, social media has positive and negative effects. As positive, our kids are very well exposed to all kind of information. They are very well exposed to all kind of technology. They have a very good social communication with others. But on the other hand, and what's affecting kids is the social interaction. The social media is taking them to a place where they have a certain privacy. They're not mixing with the other kids. They're not exercising. They're not making effort or taking risk as we did before when we were kids. It's also affecting their self-esteem, their mental health. They're always comparing themselves to others. You see, like with the videos and with the different trends, you always try to put some pressure on yourself to be like others, especially in adolescence, mm-hmm. where the image and the self-esteem are very important. It's also affecting the mental health, meaning that there is some increase in anxiety levels in our kids. I'm talking about pediatric and adolescent age. And the change is in lifestyle is very well noted, because the eating behavior, the sleeping behavior, they're not following special sleeping time as before, because they're all the time on the screen. The eating behavior, especially after the pandemic, you know, like all of us, we were at home in front of the TV, screen time, eating disorders, obesity, leading to many, many physical problems in kids. Not to mention also the cyberbullying, which is a very important aspect, and it is happening among kids, and majority of the kids are very scared to talk about it. But yeah, like, I mean, social media is really something we have to watch. Now, keeping a balance between, you know, like, it has positive and negative things. So the thing is like to keep a certain balance between both by monitoring the screen time of our kids, by limiting the time that they're exposed, by trying to control the content of what they're seeing, and many, many, many others. Mm-hmm. So the key is to try to find the balance, because it's impossible to avoid screen time or screen exposure at this in this mm-hmm. Time of the world.
Yeah, definitely. I do see what you mean. It is definitely a scary time. And I mean, who knows how this technology is going to evolve, right? The children of today, I feel, are more educated or informed than any other generation at their age in the past. But at the same time, like you said, there's been a lot of risks to their health on so many different levels, physical, mental. But what I find really interesting is that, you know, the whole eating disorders and anxiety and all this stuff was already there with traditional advertising. Do you feel like this has maybe gotten worse over time with social media than it was with traditional advertising? Because you would have magazine covers and billboards and all this type of stuff sending these sort of messaging to especially young women. You need to look a certain way, you need to eat a certain way, live a certain way. You know, do you feel like this is probably worse off than traditional marketing?
It's definitely getting worse. Mm. In my opinion, it's definitely getting worse, because the exposure with magazines and with the written books is not the same. Now, all the time you're in front of your phone just scrolling and seeing reels and seeing videos and seeing other people, other different lifestyles. So definitely, I think it's being worse. And another thing we have to mention is that our education on mental health has improved. So before, maybe like if you're anxious or you have a mental problem, maybe you're scared to talk about it. You don't go to psychologists or psychotherapists. But now this education has increased. So maybe that's why we see more and more diagnosed cases, because more people are going to seek help with professionals.
Mm-hmm. But there's also that danger, I guess, with being overly informed and then trying to find, like, for example, the other day I was scrolling, as usual, on social media, and I came across something that said, I think it was a news story somewhere that said there's been an increase in ADHD diagnosis all over the world, you know, with adults, teenagers and children. And the thing is with social media, the information that's being put out there is you have these really short reels that are super digestible, 1 minute saying these are the symptoms. If you have like more than two of these, you probably have it. You're on the spectrum somewhere for ADHD. Well, you know, what do you think about that? I mean, do you also see that as like a probably negative thing too? Or
to be honest, the more exposure or the less exposure, it's the same. Both have very bad effects on our kids. So I would say like the main key is try to balance. So the more they know, the more they think about it, the more anxious they are, maybe the more obsessed they are. So mm-hmm. maybe this all the bad energy will affect also at the time the mental and their physical health. So I would say a balance of everything would be the best. Not too much information, not very less information. Mm-hmm. So this is our role as parents to try to control the content and the time of our kids, try to expose them to other activities, try to put them in many adventures, risk-taking opportunities, try to divert their attention to other kind of activities. By this way, we try to limit their screen time. You know, like there is a screen time for each age group.
Oh, really? Like even for adults, or is this just
you? No, it's mainly for young kids. So I would say, like, in less than 2 years of age, we prefer zero screen time. Mm-hmm. Nothing, just video calls with our family, video calls with our friends, with other kids. This is not considered screen time. But I mean, videos and music and all that, we prefer not to see any TV, any iPad, no phones, nothing. Then between 2 and 5 years, we prefer to limit the screen time up to 1 hour per day. It's very little if you compare of how much our kids are in front of the screen. And on top of 5 years, there is no limit for the timing, but it's very highly recommended to control the content of our kids. Like, there is also some programs that you can download and you can be in control of what your kids are seeing. It's never 100%, but at least to keep track on the content.
And, you know, what sort of controls are these, like, these applications? I honestly never heard of them before, so I'd be interested to know, like, for example, what sort of apps would you recommend to parents who are...
No, I don't mean, like, there is a specific apps, but what I say, for example, like YouTube, instead of downloading the YouTube, there is a YouTube Kids where you can limit the type of videos that your kids are seeing, like maybe... push them to watch more Disney movies, push them to watch more cartoons, and not other type of things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Understood. All right, and, you know, just to sort of continue on this topic of, you know, children and social media, a lot of reports have also shown, I mean, we have the Arab Youth Survey, which comes out of the UAE every year, and the most recent one said that, I can't remember the exact statistic now, but it was, I feel, over 30%. Of the children surveyed or parents surveyed about their children said that most of them would prefer to become content creators over taking on, you know, traditional careers like medicine or engineering or the, you know, becoming lawyers. Do you think that, what do you think about that?
So as you were asking me, Tala, this is a very interesting question. We see that this age, or like the adolescents, are moving more towards shifting their career. Before, at our age, we were like hoping to be doctors, engineers, lawyers, etc. But now the career priorities are different. They are looking more into social media careers, entrepreneurship, business, and many, many others. I think this is a part of the social pressure that they're having around. And also because it's a very easy career and you can reach your goal faster. Kids now are very, as I said, they are very well exposed and they have a lot of information. So this social media pressure pushed them to shift their career. We don't see lots of adolescents now saying, like, I want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. And that's very weird.
Do you think that's a problem?
Yeah, that's a very big problem. Not now, but maybe later and later, like few years later, there will be shortage of doctors if that stays like that.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think the world needs more doctors?
It definitely, the world definitely needs more doctors. You know, in some areas there is a surplus of doctors, but in other areas we really have a very short number. So in general, there is a deficit of, I think, 4.3 million of physicians and healthcare professionals, meaning nurses and other allied health professionals. That's very critical. Mm-hmm. Because doctors are needed because nothing will be taking the place of humans. Even if we have now the artificial intelligence, even if we have the robots, the technology is improving, nothing will be taking the place of a doctor, or like what's the diagnosis or what's the physical exam and all this. Mm-hmm. We need more doctors because we need to alleviate the pain and the suffering of people. We need to diagnose and treat diseases. We need also to be involved in more and more research to be able to reach new treatments for unknown diseases, or like we have a lot of diseases that are not very well researched. Mm-hmm. So definitely we need more doctors to make this research and to improve our healthcare system. So that would really make a big difference, because the health of the population is one of the most important things in the world. I mean, like, what would you do if you have a lot of machines and lots of robots and you don't have a doctor to treat the patients?
So what do you think is going to maybe perhaps shift this mindset for younger people to maybe want to consider medicine as a future career. Do you think maybe doctors creating content on social media might help?
Yeah, it's a very nice idea. Actually, the trend now of doctors creating content is increasing, and I feel happy for that, because kids also needs to see that side of the world. So I mean, like, if you're not influenced, or if you don't hear anyone speaking about how nice is the career of medicine, you will not be interested to do it. Mm-hmm. So I would say this is a very nice idea.
Yeah, because it's the best of both worlds. If they want to create content but also be a doctor, they can both as well.
Exactly.
Okay, I think we discussed a lot of super interesting stuff. Perhaps just to close off the episode, I wanted to maybe get, you know, your take on maybe what are the biggest things impacting children and adolescent sort of behavioral development?
Yeah, first, you know, like, as we were speaking, it's screen time and technology. The increased use of digital services and screen time can affect the physical and mental health of our kids. Another one is the peer influence or social media influence, which can affect the self-esteem of our kids, the body image of our kids, the social interaction between our adolescents. The constant comparison to idealized images and the pressure to fit in can contribute to mental health challenges. So maybe you're a bit overweight and you see pictures of adolescents that are very thin, or maybe sometimes anorexic. You want to be like them and you just stop eating. Mm-hmm. I did see that in my clinic. So it's really very risky, because not all the bodies can deal with these changes. Mm-hmm. Another thing are educational pressures. They have high academic expectations, and there is a huge competition, and that's putting pressure on our kids. Another thing is the family dynamics and support. Family is very important for kids. And what I mean is that it affects significantly the child's development and mental health. So a good family dynamics really makes difference. Another thing to mention is the access to healthcare. Some places, they don't have a good access to healthcare facilities or mental health facilities. And this also affects our kids. Physical activity and nutrition is now you see, like, the fast food, the changes in the eating habits. We are, most of our kids are not eating very healthy, and they're eating sweets, they're eating junk and fast food, and this is not healthy, maybe like soft beverages. So we need to concentrate more on that, because this is also putting risk on our kids' health. And yeah, like, maybe I mentioned the majority of them. So I think these are the most important, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, what would you what would your advice be to parents who are looking to sort of help their children on the mental health front to mitigate these things from happening, you know, in terms of screen time, let's say?
Listen, first, I would say to all the parents not to push or not to pressure the kids to introduce early the social media. Let them take their time. There is no rush. There is no pressure. At the end of the day, they will just take the iPad, and they will just take the phone, and they will see it. So no rush for that. I would say also to select and try to co-view the media with your child. Like, if you have a bit of free time and your child is on the iPad, please go sit with them and try to check and to observe what they're watching. At least we will have an idea of what's going on in their mind. We need to advise our kids to stop the screen time at least 1 hour before bedtime, because there is some researches and studies that approve that screen time is really affecting sleeping quality. And sleeping in pediatric age is very important for a good growth, a good development physically and mentally. Family time is very crucial. I mean, like, we should dedicate more time for our family time with zero social media for the parents and the kids. We have to be like a role model, because our kids are seeing us all the time taking our phone and either on phone calls or scrolling.
Scrolling, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they see us. So they think this is the right thing to do. So we have to be a role model. We have to dedicate time for them with no distractions. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Try to go to some place, do an adventure or risk-taking activity, whatever. Here in Dubai, we have many, many options to do that. So if we really want to do it, we will be able to do it. Definitely. I hope that we can really make a change mm-hmm. with the
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, and going back to your comment on the controller and just observe your child's behavior online, do you think there are a lot of controls that should be in place already from the people who provide these platforms, like Meta, let's say? Do you think that there, maybe not Meta specifically, but in general, do you feel like there is a lack of tools to help parents control this? Or maybe control is a big word, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say like there is always a window to make it better, mm-hmm. because apparently it's not working now. So we definitely need to make more decisions or more, I don't know, ideas to try to limit or control, as you said.
Or regulate.
Regulate is better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we really need to find more and more options to try to regulate our kids' social media exposure. Mm-hmm. Because we want to benefit from the good things of it, but we also want to limit the negative side effects on our kids.
Definitely. And is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up the episode?
Very happy that we touched this hot topic, because, you know, in my clinic, I have lots of parents asking me this. I have lots of kids with obesity. I have lots of kids not sleeping well. I'm seeing anxious kids that are having problems at school. They're not even being able to socialize or having interaction with their friends. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we could touch this and raise a bit of promotion or education about this topic. So all of us hand in hand, we can maybe make a difference and securing a better future for our kids.
Definitely. Hopefully this will increase the awareness around the topic. And thank you so much for your time
today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tala. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. And thank you to all our subscribers. Sign up to arabianbusiness.com for all exclusive content.